With SDPB News, I'm Patrick Williams. January 20th is the date for a special election relating to a Rapid City TIF district. The long-controversial Libertyland theme park will now have its fate in the hands of local voters. SDPBC Jay Keen reports.
The battle first played out in city council chambers, but after approval, opponents quickly took to the streets and organized a widely successful petition effort to put the matter on the ballot. At this week's council meeting, that date was set, with proponents wanting to move as quickly as possible. Joel Brennan is the Libertyland Destination District's project manager.
I would really encourage the city council to take this to a special election. I think this will bring in enormous amount of sales revenue tax that this city uses to fund the streets, the police force, and all the amenities that the citizens of Rapid City enjoy today.
However, opponents argue this should be a longer process connected to the general municipal elections. That includes TIF opponent and Rapid City resident James Bioletta.
If it can't be done in the next month, why wouldn't you wait one more month to the general election where the cost would be much, much less? And that's all I have to say at that.
While special elections are indeed an added cost to communities, the final selected date in January is months out from the general in June. Ward 3 Councilor Kevin Maher says it's time to get the debate finished.
So let's have the election, and let's talk about this project before the election. Let's not delay it for 8 months, because that really stops economic development in Rapid City.
Despite Maher's concerns about business interests, the most recent reported tally shows Rapid City with 15 active TIF districts primarily supporting other economic development projects, not including TIF districts in the rest of Pennington County. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
Governor Larry Roden finalizes the 30 people tasked to fix what many deem a broken rehabilitation system at the state's Department of Corrections. Following the legislature's approval of a Newman's prison in Sioux Falls last month, Governor Roden announced his intent to establish the Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force. Members are tasked with assessing the inmates' population programming needs, understanding options for faith-based and Native American-focused programs, studying best practices for reentry models, and making recommendations on how to best use the expanded space of the new prison. Roden says the diverse membership brings broad perspectives to the table. Membership includes Native American voices, something many asked for given the South Dakota State Prison System's demographics. Despite collectively only making up about 8.5% of the general population, Native men make up 35% and Native women 60% of the prison population. To find the full list of members, you can visit sdpb.org/news. The Legislative Rules and Review Committee approved the fees and day pass structure of a controversial state-funded shooting complex in Rapid City. The Game Fish and Parks Pete Lean and Sons Sports Complex cost $20 million total, but utilized $13.5 million from the state's Future Fund for Economic Development. Some legislators were displeased with the Nome administration's use of the Future Fund after the project failed to receive funding approval from the legislature. The newly approved fee structure includes a $20 one-day fee for individuals, annual permits for $100, and an annual family permit for $150. Clubs are also able to obtain a year-long permit at a $500 rate. In July, GFP said the fees would help offset around $360,000 in annual maintenance and operation cost. The shooting complex will offer free opportunities for kids and the public when it opens next month. Legislators approved the fee structure in a 5-to-1 vote. Changes to mountain lion hunting rules in the Black Hills have received legislative approval. The rules expand where hunters can use hounds to detect mountain lions in the Black Hills Fire Protection District, including some private land. The rules were controversial at the Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting last month. Representative Roger DeGroot is on the legislature's Rules and Review Committee and was a yes vote on approving the change.
I think the mountain lion change is a win-win. It's a win for the landowners because they want to have some mountain lions taken off their property. And I think it's a win for the hunters, the boot hunters that can go there with their and hunt those that area now, and before they couldn't do that.
The Rules and Review Committee unanimously approved the measures. In a recent pitch to the Mitchell City Council, a retail recruitment group says the city is leaving nearly $100 million in potential revenue on the table every year. As SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports, Local leaders are considering using city dollars to attract more businesses.
Retail Strategies is a southern United States-based company that tries to lure businesses to towns and local communities. At the latest Mitchell City Council meeting, they said the city has untapped retail potential. Banks Perry is the North and South Dakota Community Partnerships Associate with the company. He says the city has a chance to grow its economy.
Mitchell is kind of the retail hub for a lot of the surrounding neighborhoods and communities, things like that. With that being said, there are $97 million are leaking out of Mitchell in retail. What that means essentially is that $97 million year over year are being spent by consumers that live in this trade area. They're leaving the trade area to go spend that money elsewhere.
He says that's where Retail Strategies comes in.
Obviously, we cannot promise any retail openings just because this is a long game. It's a hard game. You never know what's going to happen. But what we can promise is that every year of a partnership, we will have a minimum of 30 retailers at the very least performing due diligence on Mitchell.
In exchange, Retail Strategies is asking the city for $50,000 a year for 3 years. They say the city reserves the right to cancel the contract or request updates on the process at any point over that period. Jordan Hansen is the mayor of Mitchell. He says expanding retail could benefit the city by adding revenue sources to its 2% municipal sales tax.
Retail is by far our largest sector of sales tax revenue generation. So obviously there's a huge demand for it. It's like 63% of all sales tax comes from the retail, and that's what we receive in sales tax. That's our bread and butter. I mean, that's our big winner. That's how we fund this city is with retail. 63%, actually, if you add in property tax, it's 45%. So over half of all of our money that comes from here is from retail, and then 75% of all that money comes from people outside of town.
While the city council didn't approve a contract just yet, they suggested continuing the conversation to fund the prospect. Any investment in the partnership with Retail Solutions would come from the 2026 city budget. MSDPB's Jackson Dirks.
The latest suicide surveillance report from the State Department of Health shows a 10% increase in suicide deaths between 2023 and 2024. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in South Dakota, and it's the number one cause of death for people in their 20s and 30s. Suicide prevention is a complex effort that includes ensuring access to crisis care. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a statewide resource available to anyone facing a mental health need. Amy Carter is the chief operating officer of the Helpline Center, which hosts the crisis line. In a recent episode of SDPB's In the Moment, Carter explained the history of the service and who it can help.
Just a little history on 988. So there used to be a 1-800 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, and in July of 2022, nationwide, that transitioned to a 988 three-digit number. We recognized, hey, people need easy access to a crisis hotline. This 800 number, that's too hard to remember and to connect with. So 988 was rolled out nationwide, and those calls are answered here for South Dakota at the Helpline Center. So anyone dialing with a 605 area code will be routed to the Helpline Center, 988, mental health counselors, and be connected with somebody who can support them and talk through what's going on.
And how popular has that been as far as the rollout and people having awareness? Popular is the wrong word. How is awareness going for people being able to access that number and using it?
I think we are doing a lot of awareness and a lot of campaigns to make the number known. More and more, we're seeing people being aware of it. We're reaching out to communities, schools, businesses, individuals. We really want that number to be utilized. And so absolutely our call volume, and you can call, text, or chat. So our contact volume continues to grow. Last year in 2024, we responded to a little over 13,000 contacts. We are well on our way to exceed that here for 2025. But yes, we know people know about it. We just have to continue to keep the number visible and out there.
One of the things that I like to say whenever we have suicide prevention conversations is with 988, don't wait until the worst possible moment. You can call at your worst possible moment, but it is okay to call if you're not, if you think, oh, it's probably going to be okay. It's okay to go ahead and call that number or text it. Would you agree with that? Am I giving good advice there?
Absolutely.
Or would you push back?
No, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, actually. We've been trying to do a little more awareness on that component alone, that you don't have to be in crisis to reach out to 988. Sometimes exactly people think I have to be at my lowest low or in my worst case scenario at this point, but really
harm needs to be imminent.
Exactly, yes. But whether you yourself or a family member or a friend, you're worried about someone else, reach out anytime, because it's so helpful to be able to talk through what's going on and get a little clarity, because when you're in crisis or when you're experiencing that overwhelming mental health concern or substance use, it's hard to see clearly. It's hard to think clearly. And so having someone on the outside who can just connect with you and kind of bring things into perspective and talk through and offer resources and support, that can make a big difference before you get to that crisis situation.
And I find that people might reveal in a conversation with a friend or a neighbor that there's something going on in their life that they're not sure that they can handle. And then if you're on the receiving end of that, you can feel unstable too. Like, I don't know if I can be there for this person 24/7, or I don't know what, if I am up to the task of this support. That's also for you.
Yes. That's so true. We want people to ask, how are you doing? Is there something going wrong on? I'm worried about you. I've noticed this or that. But once you ask those questions and somebody starts sharing with you, it can be a little overwhelming, and it can be a heavier burden to take on. And so we don't want people to feel alone if others are sharing those things with them. And that's exactly what 988 can do, is support not only the individual struggling, but also those around them.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is free to use and available 24/7. Help is available by calling, text, or through a chat portal on the 988 website. Dakota State University President Yose Marie Griffiths will move to a different leadership position at the end of this academic year, according to an announcement from the university. Griffiths has been president of DSU for 10 years. During that time, the university has become a leading institute for cybersecurity, technology, and collaboration with federal and military partners. Once the academic year comes to a close, Griffiths will become DSU's chancellor. The new position will advocate for the university's cyber programs on a national level. Griffiths says in a statement that DSU has built a national reputation in cybersecurity and technology, and she looks forward to championing that mission in the school's next chapter. Details on an upcoming presidential search have not yet been released. I'm STPB's Patrick Williams. And that is your daily news update. Be sure to check back here Monday through Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on social media as well, so be sure to check out STPB's Facebook, Instagram, and X pages. Thanks for listening.